be reading from Matthew 21, verses 18 through 22, found on page 826 of your pew Bible. Before we do read, let us pray. I thank you for this day here, and I pray that we can read your word and that you open our hearts so we can understand your word and that we accept it and become trusted more like you, that we accept your word into our heart and listen to it. Amen. In the morning as he was returning to the city, he became hungry, and seeing a fig tree by the wayside, he went to it and found nothing on it but only leaves. And he said to it, "May no fruit ever come from you again." And the fig tree withered at once. When the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, "How did the fig tree wither at once?" And Jesus answered them, "Truly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt it, you will not only do what has been done to the fig tree, but even you say to this mountain, 'Be taken up and thrown into the sea,' and it will happen. Whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive if you have faith."
So Jesus has purged the temple. He's thrown out the money changers and those who were in the court of the Gentiles selling sacrifices. And he's gone back out that evening and stayed in a village outside of Jerusalem on this valley, across a valley on this hillside. And it's morning the next day, and he's going in, and he's hungry. And he sees a fig tree that has leaves, which would indicate there ought to be fruit. Now, this is in the spring. It's not the nice, ripe figs that you would have later in towards the harvest, but there would ought to be something that he could get. And he goes up to it, and there are no figs. And Jesus' response is, "May no one ever eat from you again," and the tree withers up and dies. And the disciples are like, "How can this be? What in the world? How does this happen?" And Jesus responds that if you do something with faith, you could do this. If you act in his name and believe, you could even move a mountain into the sea. Whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive if you have faith. One of the more interesting cursing of vegetation stories we have. Not the only one, though. So you're asking yourself, what is it? This doesn't seem like what Jesus tends to do. He rarely has any sort of miracle that is involving himself. You know, he'll feed 5,000 from bread. But in his own hunger, he doesn't turn bread, a stone into bread. He never uses his power for self-serving. And yet here, Jesus seems almost out of a character. Was Jesus hangry, right? Was he just so hungry? You know, I can be pretty ill in the morning if I'm hungry. And does he just lose his temper? No. He's not so much concerned about his own well-being. He's managed to fast before. What he's doing is a miraculous interpretation of what he had done in the temple. Right? So he has cleansed the temple of those who went about the form of religion, who kind of went through the rituals, yet their heart was not with God. And he's giving an interpretation of that by going to this fig tree that is not bearing fruit and yet has the leaves that should appear as though it is fruitful. And he curses it and says, "No one's going to eat of you again." And he's withered and it's dried. And in some way, even then, they say, you know, how can this be? When he says, if you believe, if you trust in my name, if you do this, you can do the same sort of thing. You can even move mountains into the sea. And Jesus is not commanding apostles to go around cursing fig trees. He's not telling us a mark of discipleship is rearranging topography. What he's telling us is faith produces fruit. And the appearance of faith without true faith that only gives the form and the ritual and goes through the show is damnable hypocrisy. He curses it. It's withered, it's dried up, it's showing itself for what it truly is in its heart. And he says, I hate for you to pretend that you're going to worship me and then have a heart that's far from me. Because that's nothing new. That's throughout the prophets. Their lips praise me, but their heart is from me. Jesus says, I despise your sacrifices if you're doing so without care and compassion for others, without obedience to my commandments. That what we go through the form that he says, if you do this, and it's only an appearance, if it's hypocritical, I despise it. Jesus curses hypocrisy. It would be pretending that you're something that you're not. Right? If more of you could get Seinfeld references, I might say it would be like someone pretending to be an architect or a marine biologist when they're not one. But I think you just understand that it's pretending to be something you're not. Man, y'all really don't get Seinfeld references. So it's pretending to be something that you're not, and Jesus hates it. He despises it. And so I want us to look at what he's saying is, here's this form, these leaves that are showing an appearance of faith, and there's no fruit that's being born. I want to look at three different ways, three levels of that, and then some ways we examine our hearts. The first is, as a society as a whole, as a nation, as just a body of people, there's times that we are more faithful, there's times we're less faithful. There's times there's more people in church and faith is more publicly accepted. There's other times the culture around us is hostile. Times that it's less popular to be Christians. Different cultures, different situations like that. And yet what I want us to look at is the fact that sometimes we can appear to be something we're not. It's something a lot of folks have said lately. They noticed a vibe shift. They've noticed there's more openness. There are really some exciting things going on. Church attendance seems to be up, especially young generations. That's something to praise and be excited about. Bible sales have increased, which is wonderful. More people are open about their faith, which is wonderful. We want to encourage this. And to the extent that we are a people who follow Scripture and our laws, where we are obeying the Ten Commandments as a body, that is a good thing. And yet I think there's a temptation for the church to just want to be tribal, and a temptation to say if people are talking about God and it's popular, it's an absolute good thing, when it can be just a form of godliness that is very much a different type of hypocrisy, a nominal Christianity, people who are saying they follow and trust God when they really don't. When it's just something popular, or when you're taking the outward forms of Christianity without a heart that's inwardly transformed, that's fig leaves with no fruit. Let me give you an example. Early in my ministry, there were lots of folks who just kept saying, if we only had prayer back in school, things would be right. If we had prayer back in school, this country would be what it needs to be. And if you look back, were we truly Christian? Prayer in school, when schools are segregated, is not Christian. Or in the 80s with the moral majority, and there was lots of, kind of more political involvement for evangelicals. Maybe a good thing, and to an extent a good thing, but to the extent that we were as consumed with greed and materialism as anyone else, were we really Christian? And my concern is the number of those who are waving the flag and professing Christ. I have to ask, how much of it is form and how much of it is a heart that is truly following Jesus, who has compassion on the weak, who wants to see others know him and have the freedom of the gospel? In other words, I'm concerned if we have too many who are saying in the name of Christ and are acting hateful and without compassion on others. We as a nation, we want to be obedient, but we want to be obedient to the true Christ. Second, in churches, we're very good at doing religious stuff. It can be very easy for churches to say, well, there's a lot of folks and things are going well and everyone's happy, and yet be only fig leaves and no fruit. It can be that a church can have lots of people and seem to be doing well, and the leadership absolutely corrupt, and people being led astray. And we should never look and just say, well, it seems to be going well, and you're doing the right thing, but you're not truly following Jesus and coming to know him. You're not truly being transformed him. I to pick on a friend's denomination, I went and, you know, I loved worshiping with them, but they had this lengthy conversation about the number of candles that should be on the altar and the number of times the bell should be rung before certain types of worship services, all at the same time, leadership espousing things that were in no way Christian. We want to get worship right, but we're not just playing ring around the altar. We're following Jesus. Let me point more to our own temptation. We want to be absolutely correct in our theology. We want our doctrine solid. I mean, we want to hold that and do that. That is, you know, something we're called to do, is to speak the truth. And yeah, there's so many in the Reformed camp that I get the theology right, but a heart that is mean, a heart that is condescending and arrogant. And any understanding of theology that doesn't transform us into loving others and having patience with brothers and sisters who love Jesus is just as bad as any other aspect of fig leaves without fruit. Our theology could be perfectly correct and not bearing fruit. And so we as churches want to make sure that we are following Jesus, that we are bearing fruit. Some of the signs of that is when people who are very different are coming to this table together. I mean, if our heart has been transformed, and I can look at someone I disagree with about politics, I look at somebody from a different social background, a different economic background, a different ethnicity, if I can look at that and say, but what binds us more is being brothers and sisters in Christ. You see, there was this movement that came along when churches were getting real big, and their whole basis was find the marketing demographics of your area and do everything in your church based around selling to that market, and they will attract other people like them, and you will get a lot of people who are like each other. That was the purpose-driven church. And of course, if you do something based on marketing to a group and getting people who are alike together, you can do that. You can do that with Rotary Club. You can do that with a shopping mall. You can do that with anything. Only the gospel changes so that I'm looking at somebody who has a world of experience different from me and says, I'm more like you than somebody else. You are a sister. You're a brother, because God has transformed our hearts and united us in him. Another way that we see fruit in a church is when we're no longer just thinking of our own selves and our own schedules and how do I build myself up, but we're looking, how do we reach out to others? How do we share the joy of Christ and the freedom of Christ and the peace of Christ that I have with those around us who are hurting and who need that message? To the extent that a church is asking, how can we share this love with others? It's a sign of the fruitfulness of God in their lives. And then as individuals, you know, it's no mistake that Jesus curses a fig tree with leaves covering up its emptiness. From the very beginning, our first sin, we tried to cover our sin and our shame with fig leaves. We tried to show something that would cover up, and this is exactly what we continue to do. We can continue to have the pretense of righteousness and yet a heart that doesn't know Christ, a heart that doesn't bear fruit in our lives. And so we have to ask ourselves, am I growing in Christ? Am I bearing fruit? Or am I just pretending to be a Christian? Am I just going through the rituals? Am I just going through the motions? Or am I truly following Christ? Let me give you a few ways of doing that. One is what we'll do in just a moment. As we come to the table, we're declaring our obedience and our allegiance and our commitment to Jesus Christ, our faith in him. And that's a time for us to examine ourselves and to say, am I doing this? Am I doing what I'm displaying? Am I showing my trust in him? Am I showing my commitment to him? And so as we take the table from the table, that's a time to examine and say, is my life showing an obedience? The prayer of confession in your bulletin, I would encourage you to stick that in your Bible. Unless your Bible's a phone, that would be awkward. Take it with you. Take a picture. Take it. Make it a daily practice to pray a prayer of confession and slowly go through and ask yourself, how am I doing here? Am I confessing the same sins? This week I might have messed up, but am I better now than I was 10 years ago? Let me give you a warning. If you're a true follower of Christ, you might become even more sensitive to sin in your life. You might be more aware of things in your life, but can you look and say, well, but I'm better here. I am growing. I am maturing. Another would be, look at Galatians 5:22. We're told what the fruit of the Spirit is. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. It might be good to look at that every once in a while, maybe once a week, and ask yourself, am I kinder than I was? Are there signs of patience in my life? Ask your spouse, ask someone who knows you well, do you see any growth in these areas? Because the thing is, if you are a Christian, it is because God's Holy Spirit has come into your life and convicted you of your sin and your need for a Savior. The Holy Spirit has shown you through his word and working in you that you are not right on your own and that you need a Savior who came and suffered and bled and died on the cross to cover up your sins. And that Holy Spirit works in you to believe that and trust it. The Holy Spirit works in your heart to embrace that with faith, to understand that and trust it. But that's not the end of it. Repentance is a single moment. The Holy Spirit in a Christian's life continues through the rest of your life, revealing to you your sin, revealing to us our need and our areas of growth. And if you are a Christian, that Holy Spirit is working in your life to become more and more like Jesus, to kill the sin, to wither up the fruitless fig tree in your life, and to produce real fruit and real maturity. And so if you're here and you're saying, I'm not seeing growth, but that doesn't bother you, I have to say, do you see your need for Christ? And if so, are you truly trusting in him? And if you're here this morning and you're not a believer, if you're not making any claim to be a believer, can I suggest that one of the reasons you might find it hard to follow Jesus is because of the failure of those who proclaim to be Christians, because of hypocrites who've said they follow Jesus, but they don't. It might be that you've known people who have been in church and been really active, but their life is a sham of following Jesus. And I want you to know, Jesus despises that more than you do. Jesus curses anyone who would claim his name but doesn't make any attempt to follow him. And if that's your case, if you haven't really been able to trust Jesus because of those who have claimed to follow Christ, I would encourage you, look at him who condemns that. And don't look at others, but look at Jesus himself, who truly lived as he spoke, truly lived as he claimed he would be. And may all of us examine our hearts and continue to repent and grow and bear fruit. Now unto him who is able to even move mountains do that work in our lives.